This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:07 on Monday, the 17th of January. I'm Shazana Mukhtar together with Wong Xiaoning. It is the eve of Thaipusam. Tomorrow is Thaipusam, a public holiday. So an early message to all our listeners who observe Thaipusam, have a happy day tomorrow.
But I think in the meantime, we can recap how global markets closed over the weekend, right?
That's right. Tell us.
So the Dow was down 0.6%, S&P 500 up 0.1%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.6%. Meanwhile, in Asia, it was pretty much a red day except for Singapore, which was the only major market, up 0.8%. But the rest were down. So Nikkei was down 1.3%, Hang Seng down 0.2%, Shanghai got hit by 1%, and our very own FBM KLCI was down 0.8%.
So for some thoughts on what's moving markets this week and beyond, we have on the line Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Kingsley, good morning. Can I start with this question? Help us navigate this surge in COVID-19 cases due to the Omicron pandemic. Where are the safe havens in Asia? Because at the moment, each country adopts a different policy, with China taking the most extreme no-COVID strategy. So where do you think investors should look to park their money at this stage?
I think there's a couple of obvious areas. One, of course, is the food sector, where that demand will remain stable. So obviously, we need to avoid restaurants and entertainment, but your staples are, I think, a good place to hide. I also think that the financials are not too bad, simply because people keep paying their mortgages and the like. And then outside of that, I think we need to be prepared for what are likely the inflation-oriented trades. So I mentioned food, but we're also seeing, I think, still good conditions in commodities. And we think steelmakers and other areas which are exposed to construction stimulus that we're seeing in places like the United States are good places as well.
So, Kingsley, I want to clarify something because markets were disappointed with fourth quarter results from the likes of JP Morgan and Citigroup, with both stocks taking a hit to their share price on Friday. But you're still keen on financials despite this?
Yeah, certainly. I think with JP Morgan, you know, one of the factors that the market reacted to was their very heavy technology spend. I mean, that's something JP Morgan's chosen to do with their own business. We think, however, that financials generally, they benefit from a time when you have rising rates, because this is part of a typical kind of cyclical cycle where we're seeing energy strong, we're seeing financials strong, and we're seeing other sectors of the food complex strong, particularly at the front end of the supply chain in agricultural products. That's pretty strong all around the world.
And looking at U.S. tech, Kingsley, what do you make of the recent U.S. tech sell-off? Is it the right time to bottom feed, or will they be catching a falling knife going into technology stocks now?
Well, technology is not dead, of course, but we think it's a dangerous time to be an unreconstructed tech bull. People have pulled their horns in already, and our stock selection is increasingly moving towards value in stocks like Oracle and Dell Technologies, which are very modest valuations there, particularly Dell, and also those areas where there's shortage, like semiconductor names in Taiwan Semi, and the stalwarts like Microsoft and Apple. I mean, they've sold down, but those businesses are very, very strong. We're avoiding stocks that don't make a profit, but we'd mentioned that these conditions will likely as not kneecap some good companies. You know, as the bond yields go up, the valuations come down, so we can keep an eye out for much better values in good growth names. Stories like Atlassian, but we're avoiding stocks like Zoom, DocuSign, Peloton, and others.
So basically, you're avoiding all those work-from-home winners, and especially those which had a bit of a hype in the last year, I guess. But I want to talk about the timing of the US Fed rate hikes this year. What about the Reserve Bank of Australia? Because, you know, what do you think their monetary policy stance will be like this quarter?
Well, you know, the RBA has a tough job. I mean, for a very long time, they did nothing. And that was good money for not much work. Now they really have to work for a living. So, you know, to be serious about the whole matter, the real problem is this building pressure, as you mentioned, of US rate rises. You know, we have inflation and of course, the breakout infection of Omicron, particularly in places like Australia. So the latter fact is really the worst. And I think the RBA is pretty sensible. They're not likely, in our view, to make a tough time worse by raising rates soon, even though there's a lot of talk about that. And the firming commodity prices will probably keep the Australian dollar firmer than it otherwise would be. And that's always a big fear for the RBA, is that the Australian dollar might collapse and then you get a big imported inflation problem. So we think they'll probably do nothing. You know, Australia is the lucky country, and therefore I think the RBA is a lucky country central bank. They don't have to do very much for now, but they certainly will follow the US Fed later, maybe towards the back end of this year.
So, it's, like you say, you're the lucky country, but what are the soft spots that we should kind of pay attention to? Is it going to be unemployment? Is it rising inflation?
I think in Australia, the point to be made here is that, as you're sure you're aware up in Malaysia, for very many years, Australia had very high net migration. We were one of the highest population growth countries in the OECD, and that was all from immigration. Now, that tap's been turned off largely because of Omicron, and therefore we actually have very, very robust employment conditions in Australia, notwithstanding the Omicron outbreak. So I think the really big fear in Australia is that we will get a quite powerful inflationary surge in rents and also wages, you know, once the demand comes back. And I think we're seeing some signs of that. So that's the big risk. Is I mentioned earlier, somewhat in jest, that the RBA doesn't have to do very much. But when they finally do start doing something, it might come all of a sudden. And we think that that could be once we see rents go up and wages go up by more than the RBA is prepared to tolerate. But I really think that's a story for maybe 2023, not 2022.
Kingsley, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us some of the his take on some of the trends that could be moving markets going forward, including with the RBA in Australia. Hopefully they stay lucky.
Well, I think the country has been extremely lucky, but Kingsley brought up a very valid point, which is actually employment conditions in Australia are extremely tight. And over the years, they've always benefited from what is net migration. But with the borders closed, that's going to be a challenge. If you look at the real GDP, the forecast for next year is 5%. Very good number, but whether they can achieve it if they don't have enough workers in the first place is the big question.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.